Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Safety Grade Town Hall hosted by LeapFrog Group. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn things over to Missy Danforth. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much, everyone. Welcome. I hope you are all well wherever you are. Today, we're going to talk about the Spring 2021 LeapFrog Hospital Safety Grade. My name is Missy Danforth. I'm the Vice President for Healthcare Ratings at LeapFrog. And let's get started. I'm going to give you a very brief overview of the grade. I recognize a lot of familiar names on today's webinar, but we'll review it just for those that may be new to the program. I'm going to review some measure highlights, including our new imputation model, which we're applying for the first time this spring, give a scoring overview, talk about the review period, public reporting, and then upcoming important dates. So first, a little background on the hospital safety grade. The safety grade uses up to 27 national patient safety measures from CMS and the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, and information from other supplemental data sources to produce a single letter grade, which represents the hospital's overall performance in keeping patients safe from preventable harm and medical errors. The safety grade was first launched in June 2012. I can't even believe it. It's issued twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall, and this spring will actually be the 19th release. There's lots of additional information about the hospital safety grade on our website, www.hospitalsafetygrade.org. Unlike the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, the hospital safety grade is only for general acute care hospitals. And among general acute care hospitals, we can only grade those that have enough public data. So hospitals missing more than 6 process or structural measures or more than 5 outcome measures don't receive a grade. So there are some general acute care hospitals that are just missing too much data to grade. In addition, because so much of the data we use comes directly from CMS, we are not able to grade certain types of hospitals due to missing data, and that includes critical access hospitals, TPS-exempt hospitals, like PPS-exempt cancer hospitals, Veterans Administration hospitals and other federal facilities, Indian Health Services hospitals, and also specialty hospitals. The measures included in the hospital safety grade are a bit unique. Again, unlike the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, one thing that is unique to the safety grade is that all of the measures are directly linked to patient safety, and our national expert panel has defined that to mean freedom from harm. And so each of the 27 measures either directly quantifies patient safety events, like infections, assesses processes that lead to better outcomes, or has been identified by experts as being important to patient safety. And so there's a lot of published literature that these measures are important to patient safety. So the 27 measures that meet this definition of freedom from harm to date come from 2 sources, the LeapFrog Hospital Survey and from CMS dataset. All of these measures are publicly reported and they all reflect individual hospital results. All of the measures are also endorsed or in use by some national measurement entity. The measures for the spring 2021 grade are the same 12 process and structural measures that we used in the fall. We have CPOE, VCMA, and ICU physician staffing. These are 3 structural measures that have very strong evidence that they reduce certain kinds of adverse events, like medication errors and adverse drug events. And the primary data source for these 3 measures is either the 2019 or 2020 LeapFrog Hospital Survey. And the secondary data source, where previously you may have become accustomed to seeing AHA data, is now our new imputation model, which I'm going to talk about in some length today. The imputation model we first announced last September, so September 2020, when we received word from AHA that they would not be renewing our data license for the annual survey or the IT supplement that we've been using in the hospital safety grade. So the AHA survey is no longer a secondary data source. Instead, you'll see a note about the imputation model. And like I said, I'm going to talk about that in detail in just a second. We also include three National Quality Forum endorsed safe practices, one focused on leadership structures and systems, one focused on culture measurement, feedback, and intervention, and one focused on nursing workforce. The only data source for these measures is either the 2019 or 2020 LeapFrog Hospital Survey. The next process measure is hand hygiene. And again, because we are using both surveys this year, this was part of our COVID changes that we announced. It's either going to be Safe Practice 19 from the 2019 survey or LeapFrog's new hand hygiene standard from the 2020 survey. The last five measures in this domain are five patient experience domains from the Adult CAP survey. And these five were selected because of the extremely strong evidence linking them to actual patient safety outcomes. And so that includes nurse communication, doctor communication, staff responsiveness, communication about medicine, and then discharge information. The spring 2021 safety grade will include the same 15 outcome measures that we used in the fall 2020. That's three hospital-acquired condition measures. CMS is the only data source for these measures. They're part of the DRA HAC program, and they're updated once a year. So we're actually using the same measures and same rates that we used in the fall. We have five healthcare-associated infection measures, CLABSI, CODI, SSI following colon surgery, MRSA, and C. diff. The 2019 or 2020 survey is the primary data source, and CMS is the secondary data source. And then last, we have seven AHRQ-developed patient safety indicators. These are measures of surgical and medical complications. CMS is the only data source for these measures, and like the HACs, they're only calculated once a year in July, so we're using the same measures and actually the same rates that we used in the fall 2020 grade. So now let's talk a little bit about our new imputation model. As I mentioned, we first announced in September 2020, which seems like a really long time ago now, that the American Hospital Association would not be renewing our data license, specifically for annual survey and health information, IT supplement information that we use to calculate the hospital safety grade. Since 2012, these two AHA data sets had been used to calculate measure scores for hospitals that declined to respond to the survey on CPOE, barcode medication administration, and ICU physician staffing. So effective with this spring grade, if your hospital is missing a measure from one of these three measures, you will have this new imputation model applied. The imputation model was first actually announced in January, and we held a three-week public comment period, and then it was finalized. We published the final methodology as well as responses to public comments on the Safety Grade website in early February. The comments we got were actually extremely insightful and productive, and they led to some refinements to the model. So we actually take public comments we receive very seriously. We review them very carefully with our statisticians that we were working on with this model, and we did make some changes, and that resulted in this final two-step model that I'm going to describe right now. So step one of the model uses a hospital's most recent score on the measure. It applies to all three measures, CPOE, BCMA, and ICU physician staffing. If the hospital had a score assigned by LeapFrog in the previous four rounds of grades, so either fall 2020, spring 2020, fall 2019, or spring 2019, the hospital is assigned the most recent of these scores on that measure in this current safety grade. So let's say, for example, that a hospital didn't submit the LeapFrog Hospital Survey in either 2019 or 2020. Therefore, in this past fall's grade, the hospital score for CPOE, BCMA, and IPS were assigned by LeapFrog based on other supplemental data sources. In the fall 2020 grade, the hospital score for CPOE was 45, the score for BCMA was 45, and the score for IPS was 85. That means that for this spring grade, the score of 45 will be used for CPOE and BCMA because that's the most recent measure score assigned for those measures within the past four rounds of grades. And then the score of 85 will be used again for IPS. And so the goal is that with each round of the safety grade, we'll do this four-round look-back to get the most recent score available. However, a most recent score from the past four rounds is not always available. And when that's the case, we move on to step two. Step two uses the mean of the scores assigned to other like hospitals, and this step actually only applies to CPOE and BCMA. If a hospital didn't have an IPS score in the last four rounds, we can't assume that they even have a ICU unit. And therefore, in step two, we do not impute an ICU score. So again, step two only applies to CPOE and BCMA. It doesn't apply to ICU physician staffing. In order to assign hospitals to a cohort of other like hospitals, we use three or four hospital characteristics obtained from the most recent CMS impact file, which actually came out in October 2020. For rural hospitals, we use three characteristics. For urban hospitals, we use four characteristics. And I'm going to show you how that works on the next slide. But in addition to rural and urban status, we also looked at safety net status, which is determined by the disproportionate share, hospital patient percentage in the impact file. We look at the number of hospital beds from the CMS impact file, and we look at teaching status, which in the CMS impact file was determined using the ratio, the resident to bed ratio. Teaching status is only used for urban hospitals. There are so few rural hospitals that had teaching status that it wasn't a meaningful characteristic. And so for rural hospitals, we look at rural status, safety net status, and bed size. For urban hospitals, we look at urban status, safety net status, bed size, and teaching status. So that's why rural hospitals have three categories, three characteristics to place them in a cohort, and urban hospitals have four characteristics to place them in a cohort. The hospitals assign the mean score of that cohort for each of the two measures, CPOE and then BCMA. The mean score is calculated based on hospitals that have a score in the current round, so from this spring, from either LeapFrog's publicly reported survey results or step one of the imputation model. An example of the use of step two is that a hospital is missing scores for all three measures, CPOE, BCMA, and ICU physician staffing, because they've never submitted a LeapFrog hospital survey, and maybe they've never submitted data to other supplemental data sources we've used in the past to calculate safety grades. In fact, due to missing data, this hospital has never received a safety grade. However, this spring, due to the new imputation model, the hospital would be assigned scores for CPOE and BCMA based on the mean of similar hospitals using the characteristics just described, and they may receive hospital safety grade for the first time ever. The hospital characteristics can be verified in the CMS impact file. If you look in the safety grade methodology document on the survey, on the safety grade review website, you will actually see a link. You can download the CMS impact file. And if step two is used for your hospital for either CPOE or BCMA, you can confirm the characteristics that we use to place your hospital into one of the following cohort groups. There are 12 cohorts that we're using this spring. Four of the cohorts are for rural hospitals. So it's rural, either safety net or non-safety net. Again, teaching status is not applied. But then we look at greater than or less than 100 beds. There are eight categories for urban hospitals, and it includes, again, urbanicity, whether or not you are a safety net hospital, whether or not you're a teaching hospital, and then also whether you have fewer than 100 beds or 100 or more beds. The mean scores that will represent your score if step two is used for CPOE or BCMA is included in this table, and this table is also included in the safety grade methodology document. So you can basically use this information to download the impact file, confirm we put you in the right cohort, and then use this table to look up to make sure we assigned you the correct score. The reporting periods for hospitals that do have measure scores for either LeapFrog or CMS measures have changed for a handful of the measures since the fall. So I do want to review the reporting periods right now before we move on. So first, as I mentioned earlier in the call, we did allow hospitals in 2020 as part of our response to COVID-19. To maintain their 2019 LeapFrog Hospital Survey results on the survey results website and for use in the hospital safety grade. So for the LeapFrog measures, CPOE, BCMA, ICU staffing, and the four safe practices, your reporting period will be displayed as 2019 if you're one of those hospitals that are maintaining your 2019 survey results. You'll also see that your infection measures haven't been updated. So it's the same infection data from your 2019 LeapFrog Hospital Survey that was also used in the fall 2020 safety grade. However, for hospitals that submitted a 2020 survey by the deadline, which was December 31st, you'll see the reporting period for those structural measures displayed as 2020. And the infection reporting period will be calendar year 2019. So it really just depends on whether or not you maintained your 2019 survey results or submitted the 2020 survey by December 31st. For the CMS measures, the patient experience measures have actually been updated for all hospitals. CMS updated those measures in January. So all hospitals getting a grade this spring for those five HCAHPS domains will have a reporting period of calendar year 2019, and that has been updated since the fall. In addition, hospitals that don't have infection data available from either their 2019 or their 2020 LeapFrog Hospital Survey, we do use CMS infection data as a secondary data source. CMS did update the infection measures. They did that in October. They didn't do an update for the infections in January. And that you'll see that the reporting period there is 2019 also. And I want to go back, actually, I misspoke. The last time the patient experience measures were updated was October as well. So due to COVID, CMS actually updated HCAHPS and infections in October. It's calendar year 2019. That's what we're using in the safety grade. They announced that they wouldn't be doing an update to these measures in January. So actually, this data has been up on the CMS website since October. The three HAC measures and the seven PSIs have not been updated since fall 2020 safety grade. CMS only updates these measures once a year in July, and we always use them in two grades, the fall and then the next spring. So that reporting period you see of July 1, 2017 to June 30, 2019 hasn't changed since fall 2020 safety grade. So a summary of the process and structural measure updates since the fall are on this slide. Basically, if you updated your hospital survey or submitted for the first time after September 30th, you'll see updated CPOE and BCMA information, same for ICU physician staffing. If you haven't made any updates to your 2020 survey since September 30th, then you'll see the same information we used in the fall. Hospitals maintaining 2019 survey results, nothing's changed for these structural measures. Again, if you don't have a measure score from LeapFrog for CPOE, BCMA, or ICU physician staffing, we did apply this new imputation model. No updates at all to points assigned to the survey results. So for CPOE, if you had fully meets LeapFrog standard, you get 100 points. No changes to those points. For the NQF safe practices and hand hygiene, unless you submitted a survey or updated your 2020 survey after September 30th, you won't see any updates to this information. 2019 survey results were frozen and used again, and then no updates to the points assigned to those survey results. For the five patient experience domains, again, all of them have been updated for every hospital since the fall. The only updates to the outcome measures are hospitals that submitted a survey for the first time after September 30th. Those infection measures have been updated, and now the measure source is LeapFrog. If you are using the CMS data, that was updated too from the fall. So for the majority of hospitals, you're going to see updates to HCAHPS and updates to the infections and not many other updates, again, unless we applied the imputation model to your grade. So now I want to do a quick scoring overview. As a reminder, each of the 27 measures used in the hospital safety grade is divided up into one of two domains, either the process and structural measure domain or the outcome measures domain, and each domain is weighted at 50%. So So the efforts you take to improve patient safety are worth the same amount as the outcomes of those efforts. To determine the individual measure weights, however, we use three specific criteria. The strength of evidence, where measures can receive either a 1 or a 2. Opportunity, which is actually based on the coefficient of variation on the measure, where the measure can get a rating of 1 to 3. And then impact. And impact is two components. We look at the number of patients possibly affected by the event, and we also look at the severity of harm to individual patients. So, for example, something like air embolism is extremely rare, so it would have a impact rating for the number of patients of 0, but the severity of harm is catastrophic and fatal, and so that would have a severity of harm to patients of a 3. So the two criteria are combined for an overall impact rating of a 1, 2, or 3. And to determine the individual measure weight, we actually take the opportunity score, multiply it by the impact score, and add the evidence score. And you can see the individual strengths of evidence, opportunity, and impact ratings for each of the 27 measures in the scoring methodology document. And you can also see how the criteria rolls up into an individual measure weight that's actually used to calculate the safety grade. Next, let's review the Z-score methodology. So Z-score is standardized data from individual measures from different scales. So it's basically a technique that allows us to use HCAHPS domain scores, where a higher score is better, and standardized infection ratios from the outcomes domain. A Z-score methodology basically counts how many standard deviations a hospital score on the measure is away from the mean. The mean is always set to 0, so that means a negative Z-score means your performance on the measure was worse than average, and a positive Z-score always means that your performance on the measure was better than average. And, of course, for the hospital safety grade, you always want more positive Z-scores than negative Z-scores, and you can see all of these calculations by entering your individual measure scores in the hospital safety grade calculator, which you can download on the data review website. To calculate Z-score from the raw measure score, again, you can either use the calculator or you can use the values that we make available in the scoring methodology. For the process and structural measures, we take the raw measure score, subtract the mean, and divide by the standard deviation. For the outcome measures, we actually flip the calculation. We subtract the raw measure score from the mean and divide by the standard deviation. That's so every time you see a negative Z-score, you understand that it means you're worse than average. For process and structural measures, a higher score is always better. And for outcome measures, a lower score is always better. So by flipping the calculation, it's much easier to actually understand your performance on each measure and understand the information that you're seeing in the calculator. The overall numerical score is calculated by summing the Z-score for each measure multiplied by the weight, or what we call in the calculator, the weighted Z-score. If a measure score is missing, the weight for that measure is reapportioned to other measures within the same domain where you do have a score. We add 3 to the final numerical score to avoid confusion with interpreting negative patient safety scores. And again, all of these calculations are done for you in the hospital safety grade calculator. To deal with missing data, so say, for example, this is very common for one of the healthcare-associated infections, your hospital's number of predicted infections was less than 1. Therefore, NHSN won't calculate a standardized infection ratio, and your hospital will be missing a score for that infection measure. So anytime that happens, we take the standard weight assigned to that measure, and we reapportion it across other measures within the domain where you do have a measure score. The formula for doing that is illustrated on this slide. It's done automatically for you in the hospital safety grade calculator, and all of this information is also available in the safety grade methodology document. So let's move on and talk about the data review period. The data review period opened on September 22nd. We're right at the beginning of it. It won't close until March 12th. We emailed usernames and passwords to hospitals that had submitted a 2019 or 2020 survey, and we mailed via regular mail usernames and passwords to hospitals that didn't submit a survey, and so therefore we don't have any email contact information. When you log into the data review website, you'll need that username and password. So if you don't have it, please go ahead and contact the help desk today. Make sure you give the help desk your hospital's name, address, and CMS certification number so they can send you the username and password for this website. Once you log in, you'll be asked to confirm that your hospital's name and address is displayed correctly. If it's not, we do ask for updated information because we use this on our public reporting website. Next, you're asked to confirm your hospital CMS certification number. If the CCN we have displayed on the website isn't correct, we do ask that you contact the help desk right away. Because we use so much data from CMS, and we're matching that data on your hospital CCN, if we have the incorrect one due to, say, a merger or an acquisition, you do need to let us know right away so we can update your CMS data and recalculate your hospital safety grade. We then ask you to provide us with some contact information, and we use this to notify you when the letter grade embargo period has opened. Once you've completed the contact information page, you'll move on the safety grade review website to the source data page. On the hospital source data page, you'll be able to download the instructions and scored methodology. We've actually combined what was two separate documents into a single document, streamlined the information, got rid of any redundant information, and hopefully made the document much easier to use during the review process. This is also where you can download that safety grade calculator that I've referenced. There's two important notes on this page that I want to make sure you don't miss. If any of your Medicare scores in the hospital source data table have an asterisk next to it, it means that we actually trimmed your actual measure score to the 99th percentile. As a reminder, we trim extreme values when we calculate the hospital safety grade so that no one score has an overwhelming impact on your overall grade. So we actually trim extreme values to the 99th percentile, and it's actually the 99th percentile score that we display and use to calculate the grade. So if you see an asterisk next to one of your measure scores, that's what that means. If you see two asterisks next to a measure score, it means that data for the measure has been imputed based on either step one, which is most recent past data, or step two, meaning the mean of like hospitals. And if you look in the review instructions and score methodology PDF, again, you'll see all of the details about both step one and step two that you need to know. The source data table itself includes a lot of helpful information, including the measure name, the type of measure so you know which domain it's in, the data source, and as a reminder, these are hyperlinks to either the downloadable CMS CSV file or the LeapFrog Hospital Survey Dashboard or a CMS website where you can see where we got your measure score for that measure from. You can also see the reporting period and then lastly the measure score. Please note that we actually remove the radio buttons from this page during the review period. We've gotten a lot of feedback in the past couple of years that hospitals do not like the radio button, that it is burdensome in trying to quickly complete their review process, that if something doesn't match, you have to contact the help desk anyway. Also, that if you don't complete the radio buttons or skip one, and leave the site, it was clearing everything. So we did get rid of the radio buttons this year, and hopefully that's also making the review process much more efficient for you. So as I mentioned, if a measure score doesn't match, if you are looking at the correct measure, the correct reporting period, the correct data source, and you think you've identified an incident where LeapFrog's made a recording error, we do need you to contact the help desk right away. We're going to want information about the measure, the data source, the reporting period, and we're also going to need a screenshot that shows a different measure score than what we have recorded for your hospital. If we do find a recording error, we're going to update your measure score, recalculate your numerical score, all before assigning you a letter grade during the letter grade embargo period. On the last page of the data review website, so you've given us contact information, you've reviewed your data, downloaded the methodology, downloaded the calculator, the The last page of the review website allows you to view your preliminary numerical score. We also have the links to the documents on this page as well. As a reminder, final numerical scores are posted along with the letter grade during the letter grade embargo period prior to the public announcement. So this really is a preliminary score that you're seeing here. We will alert you when the letter grade embargo period opens using the email information you provided in the contact and reviewer information field. So please make sure there's no typos when you're entering your email addresses. We don't want you to miss those announcements. The letter grade embargo period for the spring grade is scheduled for mid to late April. And as always, this is an opportunity for you to review your final numerical score on letter grade, download the explanation of letter grades, which includes the cut points and the distribution of letter grades nationally. This is a screenshot of the hospital safety grade calculator, and I'm just going to actually see if I can show you where you can see those standard weights right here in the calculator. If you are missing a measure score for any measure, you'll see the final weights will differ from the standard weights because this is where all that reapportioning of standard weights occurs. And then lastly is that weighted measure score column, and this is where you can see the Z score multiplied by the final weight. If you ever want to identify which measures might have contributed to you receiving a lower hospital safety grade, you can actually use this weighted measure score column to identify measures with the lowest weighted Z score, because that means you had a negative Z score plus the measure was heavily weighted. So this can be a very helpful way to identify measures that either impacted your grade positively or impacted your grade negatively. Okay, public reporting. I do want to urge all of you to go to a public reporting website if you haven't yet, and please download and print a copy of your fall 2020 data and safety grade. Once we refresh the hospital safety grade website, in late April, early May, the fall grade information will no longer be available to you, so it is important. On the safety grade website, you can search for hospitals by name or location. We have both map and list features available on that website. When you select an individual hospital, you'll be able to see their current grade as well as their name and address. That's why we want you to make sure that there aren't any typos in that information on the data review website. You'll also be able to view most recent past grades, as well as a detailed table view of all of that hospital's data. And if you're looking for a way to archive your safety grade information, this detailed table view really works best for that purpose. You'll see the detailed table view link right underneath the most recent past grades, right here. So you can actually click on that link. It'll bring you to this table, which you can print. And so that way you'll have your measure scores, the comparative benchmarking information, the data selection reporting period for the fall before we update this with the spring grade information. For the hospital safety grade website, you'll notice we use these gas gauge icons. This is different than the LeapFrog Hospital Survey Results website, where we use cell phone bar icons. For these gas gauge icons, a green icon means that your measure score is above average, yellow means it's right around average, and red means it's below average. For each of the measures, we include not only a gas gauge icon so you can quickly understand and assess your performance, but also the best score, the worst score, and the average score. So we include some of this benchmarking information that both hospitals and consumers can put those scores into perspective. We do have some important dates coming up that I wanted to review. As a reminder, the snapshot date for the spring was January 31st. All usernames and passwords have been sent out, so if you don't have one by now, please contact the help desk today. The review period will close on March 12th. The letter grade embargo period will then open in mid to late April. And the letter grades will be posted on our website in late April, early May. All of these dates as well as the final imputation methodology, responses to public comments are available on our website, and you can use this direct link here to find that information. You can always also contact the help desk, submit a help desk ticket or question, or find more information on the Safety Grade website. So I am going to stop there. I'm going to ask the operator, Kelly, to come on the line and give instructions for questions. Please note that I am not able to see all of the questions in the chat. So if you put a question in the chat, you will need to get in the queue to ask your question, or you'll need to submit it to the help desk. So Kelly, if you can come on the line and give instructions.
Certainly, at this time, if you do have a question, please signal us by pressing star 1. A voice prompt will indicate once your line has been opened to ask your question, and again, that will be star 1. We'll take our first question. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you tell us again what the time frame is for the patient satisfaction if we submit it after September of 2020?
Sure. So for these patient experience domains, because they're calculated by CMS, it doesn't matter when you submitted your LeapFrog hospital survey. We got those from the CMS Hospital Compare website, and the reporting period will be calendar year 2019. I don't know if you can see my screen, but I'm going to actually try to highlight that for you right
now.
Yeah,
I see it. Thank you.
Perfect. No problem. Great question.
We'll take our next question.
Hi. Although the spring 2021 safety grades are being addressed on today's call, does LeapFrog know whether they're going to be using the same or similar scoring methodology for fall 2021, specifically the imputation for, say, hospitals that don't participate in the survey for this year?
We do plan to use an imputation model for those three measures. I don't know if there'll be additional refinements to step 1 and or step 2 prior to the fall. If there are going to be any changes, we would announce them this spring around the time that we actually publish the spring grades. So at this point, the plan is to use the imputation model. Whether or not there will be any additional refinements, I'm not sure. But if there are, they would be announced this spring around the time we actually publish the spring grades.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question.
Hi, I was calling. I wanted to ask about the imputation grade also. So in the past, we have completed the CPO and the barcode administration, and you know, with COVID, we're still kind of in a catch-up mode. And if we can't get the CPOE test done in time this summer, would you count the grade that we had last time, or is it just if you haven't completed a survey before?
So for the 2021 survey for the CPOE standard, we are getting ready to announce our COVID-19 changes. So what I would recommend is if you can wait, we're planning on publishing those COVID updates as well as all the changes to the 2021 LeapFrog Hospital Survey on Monday, March 8th. Wait
okay.
until we publish information. Take a look at the options we have for CPOE. And then if you still have questions about, you know, the impact of that on the fall grade, go ahead and submit a help desk ticket, but I think it would be helpful for you to see that COVID information first.
Okay, perfect. And that will be for all the changes for the fall grade that will be on March 8th?
It will be all of the changes for the 2021 LeapFrog Hospital Survey.
Okay, perfect.
So not for the hospital safety grade, but for the voluntary survey.
Right, okay.
We'll take our next question.
Yes, hi. My question is the cut point going to be changed?
So the letter grade cut points aren't determined until we close the safety grade review period. So the review period will close on March 12th. We'll look at the final distribution of numerical scores at that time and decide whether or not we think we need to adjust the letter grade cut point from the fall. So at this point, I can't tell you whether or not there'll be any changes.
Yeah, I understood it was every 3 years, right, that it's being adjusted, or every 3 cycles, I mean.
No, we don't have like a set number of cycles or years when we update letter grade cut points. We typically just look at the distribution after each round to see if it's warranted. We do try to freeze the cut points, but given that we're using this new imputation model this spring, we will need to look at whether or not we can keep those frozen from the fall once the safety grade review period closes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. That's a great question. Again, historically, we have frozen those letter grade cut points for several rounds, if not in some cases several years, but we do review it actually after every safety grade review period to make sure that's still appropriate.
We'll take our next question.
Hello, I asked a question. Hello. I asked the question, if a hospital wants to improve a score, as in hand hygiene, but has mm-hmm. already topped out, maxed their score, like in CPOE, will we have to retest on all of those process measures in order to improve one of the scores with the new imputation model?
So the new imputation model doesn't affect hospitals that submit a LeapFrog hospital survey. So the CPOE, BCMA, and ICU physician staffing measures are from the survey. So if you're already getting the max score there, but you've made some improvements to hand hygiene, then you will need to submit a 2021 LeapFrog hospital survey, and you'll need to report on the appropriate reporting period for all of the measures on the survey, including those we use in the safety grade. So last year,
if you've maxed out, you have, even if you've maxed out on one, shown your mastery in one, you still need to do the entire survey.
Exactly. You need to report on your current performance every year, right, to make sure that you're actually maintaining that performance. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll take our next question.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Please go ahead. Hearing no response, we'll take our next question.
Hello? I have a question.
Yes.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have two questions. The first question: what about the other indicator we use to submit it? I'm talking about the inpatient surgery, maternity care. Do we still have to submit these indicators?
There are minimum submission requirements for the LeapFrog Hospital Survey. Not all the measures from the LeapFrog Hospital Survey are used in the safety grade. So if you want to submit a ticket about the requirements of the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, please go ahead and do that, and then we can send you that information.
Because I remember, I think last time we used to submit them on April. I'm talking about the pediatric care, the med reconciliation, all these things. So is they not required anymore?
That's the LeapFrog Hospital Survey, and that is just not part of the hospital safety grade. But those measures are still required on the LeapFrog Hospital Survey.
And then, do you know the timeline for these measures?
Yes, and like I said, today's call is focused on the safety grade. But if you submit a ticket to the help desk, we can send you the information you need for the 2021 LeapFrog Hospital Survey, including the reporting periods for those measures.
Okay, because this, what you are doing here is only for the safety grade.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And another question I have for this slide, I think once you're done with the presentation, can you email it to us?
So when the presentation today is over, we're going to publish the slides as well as the recording from today's call on the safety grade website. And you'll be able to download them there. And I'll put up the the web address, you can get that information. It's right at the bottom of this page. Let me see if I can put something around it. When you go to this website, tomorrow you can see the slides and the recording.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll take our next question.
Thank you. My question has already been answered. Okay.
Thank you. And if you do find that your question has been answered, you may press star 2 to remove yourself from the queue. We'll take our next question.
Can you give the information on where to download the impact file again?
Yes, there's a direct link in the safety grade methodology document. I don't have it in the slide deck, but it's in the safety grade methodology document. On the page, I believe it's page 17, where we describe the step 2 imputation model. There's a link to that CMS impact file. If you submit a ticket to the help desk, I can give you the exact page reference and send you
Thank
the link.
You.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question.
Hi, can you share or remove the password protection from the calculator?
No, we can't. We need to make sure that none of the formulas get updated, or then the calculator wouldn't be accurate. So you should be able to enter data into the field that you need to calculate your score. I'm not sure what other information do you need from the calculator that you can't see displayed.
Yeah, it would be okay if you password protect the fields that have the formulas, but I like to use the columns off to the right to drop in data, and it doesn't allow us to make any changes except for that one column.
Oh, you mean the columns to the right of the weighted measure score, the blank columns?
Correct.
Yeah, let me see if they can update that and repost it.
Thank you.
Yep.
We'll take our next question.
Good afternoon. Just a support of the previous callers. Sometimes we just need to, like, write notes on that sheet, and we can't get we can't write any notes on the sheet whatsoever. But my question is actually about safety net definitions. So I was just wondering how the 80th percentile was chosen, because I didn't know if the America's Essential Hospitals helped with this definition of safety net, or I think I have some semblance of an understanding of DSH payments, and it might vary by state, and so I'm just trying to understand more about why that 80th percentile was chosen.
Yeah, we worked with a team of statisticians at Mathematica. And they indicated to us that the 80th percentile is what they commonly use in all of their research projects to differentiate safety net from non-safety net, and advise us to use that. So it was actually on the recommendation of the statisticians who are working with and other large projects that they do, where they use this as an indicator. It's not from America's Essential Hospitals or another outside organization.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. If you have any specific feedback on that 80th percentile, though, we actually haven't gotten any feedback on that. If you think it should be 75th percentile or 85th percentile, if you could share that with the help desk along with your rationale, those are the kinds of things that we always appreciate getting feedback on, because they may lead to additional refinements of this model in the future.
I appreciate you saying something about that. Well, I'll get my thoughts together on it. It's just I think hospitals might view differently their safety net status instead of an 80th percentile, but let me get back to some folks at my organization and also see if I can get something to y'all at the help desk.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you so much. Great question.
We'll take our next question.
Hi. I was just wondering, I thought I saw on the website that the deadline for the fall 2021 survey is July 31st. Is that correct?
So the 2021 survey is annual, and the deadline is July 31st. So remember, the survey is annual. You only have to do it once a year. If something changes, you can update and resubmit. But if nothing changes, you do it once and you're done. And then we actually use those survey results in two different safety grades, the fall and again in the spring. So the deadline for the 2021 survey will be July 31st. That's part of those COVID announcements we're going to make on March 8th. And so if you submit your survey by July 31st, we'll do our data review, and then your data will be final by August 31st, which is the snapshot for the fall grade. But you won't need to update your survey again to get a spring grade unless something's changed.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Great question.
And we'll take our next question.
Hi, yes. Can you go back to the slide on the calculator where you've highlighted that last column and explain again how to use those scores to see what impacted your grade the most?
Sure. So as you enter your individual measure scores into this yellow column, into that yellow column, you're going to see that you have a Z-score calculated. The original Z-score and the modified Z-score will always match unless the original Z-score is greater than negative 5. And then you can see, like, we cap it at negative 5. It's like we trim values to the 99th percentile. We don't want any one measure overwhelming the overall grade. So what this weighted measure score column is it's basically this Z-score multiplied by the final measure weight. So if you look at your weighted Z-scores, you can see, like, which are the worst ones. And that will sometimes indicate to you, like, where if you made an improvement, that might improve your overall safety grade because that's where your performance is bad, plus it's a heavily weighted measure. Does that make sense?
So the worst ones on this example that I'm seeing on the screen would be at the top, the negative ones?
Correct.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll take our next question.
Hi, yes. Can you please explain the March 12th deadline?
The data review period closes on March 12th, and so after that, we'll finalize the safety grade data and numerical scores, and then we'll open the letter grade embargo period. So if you haven't logged into the safety grade data review website yet, you need to do so before March 12th.
And so this is the safety grade for 2020?
It's the spring 2021 safety grade that will be published at the end of April.
Okay, and so if you want to submit new data for, like, CPOE and hand hygiene, then you need to resubmit everything new, right?
Correct, yeah.
For the 2021 data?
Yeah, the 2021 survey will open on April 1st, and the deadline's July 31st.
Okay, so then where is the data that's going to be coming from for the spring 2021? It's all 2020 data, right?
It's called the spring 2021 safety grade because we're publishing it in spring 2021. The data being used is either from 2019 or some cases 2020, the CMS data is a little bit older. If you log on to the data review period, you'll be able to see all of the information we're using to calculate your spring 2021 grade, including the data sources, reporting periods, and measure scores for all of the measures.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm asking, though, is that we weren't able to take any credit for our hand hygiene from last year. We improved significantly our efforts for 2021. And then also for CPOE, we needed improvement in that also. So if I go in now, can I submit new information for 2021 for the spring 2021 grade?
No, the data snapshot date for the spring grade was January 31st. So all of the data, we're using whatever was published on January 31st. So you'll want to submit those updates to the 2021 hospital survey, which opens on April 1st. And that will be used in the fall grade.
Okay, all right. All right, but I still need to get into the login and also review the information by March the 12th, right?
For the safety grade review website, correct. Yep. So if you submit a ticket to the help desk with your hospital's name, address, and CMS certification number, they can send you the username and password so you can log into the data review website today.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And we'll take our next question.
Hey, my question is really related to the website, so if it's not appropriate for this call, just let me know and I'll put in the help desk ticket. If scores carry over with the new imputation model, will LeapFrog still show on the website that hospitals have declined to report?
In terms of how the imputed scores are going to show up on the new website, I will need to check with our communications team on that. Can you submit a ticket and put attention to Missy?
And put what?
Submit a ticket and put attention Missy as the subject, and then put
attention
that question.
Missy.
I'll need to talk to our communications team and website vendor to see what they finalized in terms of the public reporting website for the imputed scores.
Okay, I will do that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, good question, and I can look into that.
We'll take our next question.
Yes, we're part of a health system, and we have small, medium, large facilities. Is there a way to know if our medium-sized facilities will be getting a safety grade in advance of getting a safety grade?
I'm not sure I understand your question. So did one of your hospitals not receive a username and password?
They don't have enough volume to get a safety grade. So how do I know when one of our small to medium hospitals is getting has enough data within the system to get a safety grade?
So if they're missing outcome measures, the majority of the outcome measures come from CMS. And so you actually get to see those scores before we do, because CMS makes a CMS preview report available to you in April. We're like, we don't actually see it until it's publicly reported in July. So say you're missing like 3 infections from CMS and 3 PSIs from CMS, and so you can't get a safety grade, right? So our threshold for missing outcome measures is 5. When you get your CMS preview report in April for the July update to hospital compare, you would be able to see, oh, we still don't have scores for those 6 measures, or wait, now we do. So if you want, what you can do is we can send you a list of the measures that we're going to use in the fall grade, and you can check your CMS preview report when it comes out in April and see if you are going to have enough outcome data or not. I assume you're talking, when you say, like, small sample size, you're talking about, like, the infection measures of the PSI. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so the CMS preview reports, like I said, should provide you with that information. We can send you the list of measures you're using. You can just take a look at that. We don't know until CMS publishes the data, but you get it much sooner than we do.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. We are going to take this as the last question. We're a little bit over time right now. If you had a question, you didn't get to ask it, please go ahead and submit it to the help desk. As a reminder, the slides and the recording will be posted on the Safety Grade website tomorrow. But we'll take this as the last question.
And caller, please go ahead.
Yes, so I have 2 questions. The first question I have, you said if we buy, when the portal is open in April, if we submit new data for the CPOA and the BCM, so this data will reflect in our fall survey, right?
If you submit a 2021 survey when it opens on April 1st, before the deadline,
yes.
We'll use it in the fall. one safety grade.
And then the deadline is April 1st to, I think, July 30th, right?
The survey opens on April 1st. The submission mm-hmm. deadline is July 1st.
July 1st. So okay. So and then, so whatever grade we're gonna receive for spring 2021, even we submit the data on April, he will not affect the grade, right?
Absolutely not. No, the snapshot date for the spring grade was January 31st, so all that data is final for the spring grade.
Thank you. Okay, thank you so much.
Sure. Great question. Okay, thank you all for your time today. I know that was a lot of information. As always, go ahead and submit a ticket to the help desk if you have additional questions. Feel free to put attention Missy, and I'll grab the ticket when we get off this call. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.
Again, that does conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining us.